Welcome to the DMP podcast. Sat here again with Del. Nathan, how are you doing today?
I'm swell, bro. How are you?
I'm tired. We're recording this at 12 in the afternoon, but it's the actual day off in Berlin. So, International Women's Day. Shout out to all the women.
Shout out to all the women's.
All the previous links from years gone by. Keep your head up.
I still love you.
I'm about to send you that toxic text. So I was hoping to have a bit of a lie-in, but you know how the schedules match up. We've got to be ready, we've got to stay ready. And so here we are talking this afternoon now.
He wanted to have a lie-in and we're talking in the afternoon.
I know, man. But you know, when you get to a certain time in your life, having a lie-in is a real pleasure. It's one of those things that you look forward to. So I wasn't exactly ready for this, but you know, I'm ready to go.
We're here now.
What are you saying, Callum?
I'm good, I'm chilling. I've been up, I've been enjoying the sun, I've been watching some recaps, been out on a boat. I cannot complain. Couple of cups of coffee deep, I've had my breakfast, I've had my brunch, good to go.
Cool. I had breakfast and brunch.
Is that allowed? Is that the whole, you kind of defeat the whole purpose of brunch?
I have muesli with some fruit at like 8 a.m. and then at like 11-ish, I have me some eggs with some cheese and bread and avocado.
So you had breakfast and lunch?
Yeah, no, breakfast twice.
I'll brush off some lunch at like 1-ish.
Okay. Are you one of those people that like is like, who's that? Was it Ian Thorpe who has like 12,000 calories a day and still stays skinny?
I'm not going to lie. I'm blessed with my metabolism. I'll eat a shit ton, but I'm all right for it. But yeah, up till probably a couple of years ago, I'd have like a bowl of cereal or two. Oh, excuse me. A bowl of cereal or two before falling asleep. Always.
You skinny motherfuckers, man. You have a bowl of cereal. So you drink it with milk, I'm guessing. So you drink. You have two bowls of milk before going to bed. And your stomach was like, yeah, that's fine. It's okay. You can do that.
Drink your coffee. The system's not
good. Oh, man. If I have one bowl of milk now, my stomach is like, yo, are you mad? What are you trying to do to me?
I kind of gave up on cow's milk.
Yeah.
Oh, the almond milk's a fair game. I'll drink
it. Oat milk I can drink anytime, but cow's milk, woo.
But it's not morning coffee. Morning coffee is the right start, you know what I mean? That just it gives you the energy and it gives you the space.
You can tell I'm still running on like 50% because I was asking Cal this morning, like, where can we get coffee? Again, for any like UK listeners, in Germany, when it's a bank holiday, they shut down everything. Except for the bakeries, which I forgot about.
And the fucking coffee shops. Man's like, yo, I don't have any coffee and the shops are closed. I'm like, go to a fucking coffee shop. Man's like, what? They exist?
Yeah, I didn't. But then they're different in Germany, though. They're shit. So I don't ever think about going to a coffee shop in Germany because they're just not good place. They're not places you want to be.
Oh, I don't know. It depends where you go. I don't want to get into your address on that, but we'll talk later and I'll send you some in your
area. There's loads of nice coffee shops in Berlin. That's probably one of the redeeming qualities of Berlin, actually.
There's a couple of like expensive artisanal places, but then I'm thinking about when I think of coffee shops. So I'm thinking of like Pret and Eat, like franchise. So I'm like, oh, there's no quick franchise place to go and quickly get something. I know, it's not the that's a very London mentality, but fuck it.
You got Starbucks, isn't it?
True.
Grab a fucking filter from McDonald's.
McDonald's straight up, bro. That's good coffee.
Little Dunkin' Donuts number, fucking extra large. I'd be fucking shivering, with fucking energy.
Cool. All right. Well, I have my plan set for today then. Go out and find a coffee. But let's move on to topics which are, well, probably why we all need a bit of coffee. Last night we had a dunk contest. We had the All-Stars even. It sounds like it wasn't the main attraction, or it wasn't the most thrilling spectacle. I watched a little bit of it. I watched Steph Curry's three-point performance. I watched some of the skills, and I watched like a couple of like some of the actual game. But Callum, did you have a chance to have a proper deep dive there, or
I actually got to watch all of it. Thank God for DAZN, the streaming platform, and the 30-second skip button, because you can skip all the adverts, you can skip all the timeout, so you can get a four-hour show down to an hour quite easily. But I wouldn't say I was disappointed by the dunk contest, but I wasn't happily surprised in a sense. Like, yeah, okay, it's great feat of athleticism to have a guy who's 192 centimeters, 6'1", jumping eye level with the rim, incredible. Is it enough to win the dunk contest? In former years, no, we wouldn't have made it out of the first round. Put him up against Nate Robinson, put him up against, hell, even Dwight Howard, Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine, all these people, he's got no chance. But the way his cards worked, he won it. Also, the fact in general that it wasn't all-star dunk contest, it was quite simply the halftime show, was like Nathan touched on prior to the recording. Like, the whole setup this year was around the actual game. It wasn't individual events that effectively brings spectators in. Usually, for example, in previous years, you've had Blake Griffin jumping over a car, stuff like that. There was none of that. There was no prop. There was no nothing. The best you had was Julius Randle sitting with his head down type thing. But yes, Del also touched on Steph Curry really showed up, showed out. Even on one of the interviews on ESPN, he was asked, did you do what Larry Bird did? Did you walk into the dressing room and say, who's competing for second? Steph Curry, but agreed, like, Steph Curry, I think, undeniably, is the best shooter in the NBA, past and present. Agreed?
Oh, that's debatable. That's debatable.
Wait, it's debatable. You said 2 weeks ago you were saying that.
Oh, right now.
So you don't think Steph Curry is the greatest shooter? Oh no, you said
right now.
You were talking about the other week. Yeah. You're talking about shit. Yeah.
No. Don't even try that. I'm saying right now, at this moment in time, given on form, Dame Lillard is also questionably one of the better, probably the best shooter in the league. So it's not like undeniably.
Hold on.
Right now, in this moment in time.
So you're saying Dame Lillard and Steph, there's an argument?
I'm saying right now, current form, yeah, of course.
Did you watch the game? I guess not. Well, not the second half. But
Obviously, like, Steph was going off the second half, but we also saw Dame do his thing, and like, Steph was... Actually, let's talk about the game a bit more. That All-Star game, yeah. Did you see LeBron's team?
That was unfair. I looked at the odds last night. It's an All-Star game. It's money for charity and whatnot. On Bet365 last night, just to see what people expected to win, and B, what the average score is, because they'll put a number and you can bet over or under type thing. And it was literally like you couldn't make money betting on LeBron. Whatever you put in, you were getting pennies on top of it, like, in return. Whereas it was like almost 2-1 for like Durant's team to win, who did not even get, there was not a single picture of Durant or anything throughout the whole thing, although his name was on screen. But and then the average point, I think, was like over or under 325, which I think it just breached.
Man, that team, that's a true all-star team. Like that, yeah. Like, you could technically say were those maybe the five best players in the league, full stop. Like, I think they probably are top five in the league.
It's hard to say that, because then you've got to take out the Brooklyn Nets. At the end of the day, you've got to take out Kyrie, you've got to take out Harden, you've got to take out Durant.
I don't think Kyrie gets into that team.
No, I'm just saying, but those three players then don't make who they would for certain people arguably the top five.
I'd say, like, the most dominant players, those are probably the most dominant five. at least top five in the league. I mean, I guess you could say, I mean, I think Jokic is dominant. So, yeah. Maybe if you put Embiid in there, it'd be a different.
Maybe Embiid or Jokic. But would Kyrie get into that team? No. Would Harden get in? Probably, maybe, but I wouldn't be upset if he wasn't there.
Yeah, they neither of them are as dominant as Steph. You know what I mean? So like it's a bit of a madness. Like you see fucking Jokic bringing full court lobs to LeBron and LeBron doing a low look pass to Curry. You're like
you see when Curry just like he's running with the ball, tries to dance around, drops it, like, smile, turns around, shoots, and just like
I have to say, my two highlights came right after each other, which was the lob to Steph Curry and then the lob to Chris Paul. Like, both of them to be able to catch an alley-oop and dunk it. Yeah, okay, Steph Curry did it with a little bit more dominance. Chris Paul just managed to get it in. But still, like, that's mad.
Steph, when he's playing like that, when he's in that just happy mood, I think that's the one thing that you kind of miss fans for. Because can you imagine when Steph is cooking and he's doing his dances and he's doing his free shooting threes and doing no looks, like how the crowd starts to jump, that energy, that's one of the things that the NBA is probably missing. But yeah, Steph, just when he's in that type of mood,
I think like that mood,
he needs to change the whole game.
The tone he set in the three-point contest, it was all down to the last ball on the last rack that made him win it. He had 26 points. Whoever came in second but was in first at that point had 27 points, and it was the one money ball worth 2 points Steph had to shoot. He knocked it cold-blooded.
Didn't he get 31 points in one of the rounds?
Yeah, the very first round, he got the highest score.
So Nathan, you think Steph isn't the greatest shooter of all time?
Or
you
I didn't say that. Don't try and twist my words. Like I said, right now in current form, you can't say that Steph Curry is undeniably the statement. It's also doing crazy things shooting wise at this moment in time. So I think like right now, yeah, there's a bit of competition for me as to who the shooter is. Personally, all time, yeah, Steph Curry is top 10.
Okay.
So I'm not denying that or debating that. I'm just saying there's debate at the moment.
When you say top tier, do you mean like the greatest ever shooter, or are you just saying top tier?
Steph Curry is like full stop the best shooter ever of all time.
Okay. Okay. I
mean, but this doesn't come from just this season and this moment in time. This comes from a prolonged career. That's
you
what I'm saying.
You be the fastest man of all time. But
right now,
yeah.
I mean,
okay. I'll give that a little bit of credit, maybe.
Brandon Mike Dame was also taking shots and he had a couple of his own moments. Obviously, not as big as Steph Curry because it's the All-Star game.
Yeah.
It's all fan.
I think one other player we can touch on talking about numbers was Giannis, who ended up being the All-Star MVP. I think he went 16 from 16 from the field, and then from behind the arc, I think he went 3 from 3, all of which were bank shots. Or at least
they were coming off the back in it, and I was like, oh my
God. I think this is just another pointless title that Giannis is going to win. I think Giannis, until he gets past, like I know it's an All-Star game, but there's nothing. He's in that level of now. It's like, there's nothing you can do that's going to make us say anything about you until you actually get yourself to like the Eastern, like get yourself like to the Eastern Conference Finals and do a decent job.
It's like when you're playing 2K and got all the sliders and like, night, you know, like dude's taking bad shots. But they're just going in it. It's like, all right, cool, bro. Whatever. But again, that team was too stacked. You can't have LeBron, Giannis, Steph.
And even then, the interchangeables bringing Chris Paul off the bench.
Now that team is probably the most in terms of like basketball IQ, because all of them can give assists. All of them give like at least 5 assists a game as well. Yeah. So they're all like know where everybody is on the court. They can all except for Giannis shoot. Like
no one's playing defense.
Huh?
No one's playing defense. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
I also think it's funny how, although it was once again Team LeBron, that LeBron actually only played, I think, 12 or 13 minutes the whole game.
So in your opinion, Callum, since you consumed the whole product, was it worth the hassle?
In what sense, the hassle?
Because you've had all these arguments about players saying that this is a time that they could have had a rest during like one of the most brutal seasons where they've had no off season. You're in the middle of a pandemic. There's all the different stuff that they have to go through to even get them to be in one place. We don't know if it was super successful because now, yeah, everyone's fine. But if there's a little mini outbreak from the group that actually already went, then
yeah, yeah.
So
like, remember they had to move it from like Indianapolis to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, did you notice that about the kits? Actually,
I would say from a spectator point of view, when you're literally looking at someone consuming sport in this basketball all-star game, it was good. It gave a lot of people excitement again for a sport, so the NBA, where there hasn't been a lot of excitement this year so far. It gave people a, ooh, that can happen. Ooh, what a shot. Ooh, what a dunk. From a point, a sensible point of view, I'm still by the standing of, I don't think it should have necessarily happened. This, in the same way that the celebrity game didn't happen, there was just a Bleacher Report 2-on-2, Quavo Jack Harlow, 2 Chainz and Lil Baby, which was horrendous.
Lil Baby.
Yeah, no, all in all, from a spectator point of view, I think it was beneficial for the sport and to bring some energy back, but from a sensible, personal, my opinion point of view, I do not think it was necessary.
Did you watch the All-Stars last year?
Yes.
Well, how would you compare the
report? I think to go slightly further back than last year, I think that maybe somewhere in the region of 3 to 6, 7 years ago, there was a period of the All-Stars where really the dunk contest or the skills challenge or even the rookie game were the highlights, and the All-Star game kind of tailed out to the point where no one really wanted to win, no one really wanted to kind of show out, risk injury, whatever. So I think like when they, I don't know the year they did it, but when they created the new kind of rules, you play quarter by quarter, fourth quarter, so many points. I honestly think the fourth quarter is the shittest, but the first, second, and third quarter where you're playing for the points, you're playing for the charity donation, I think it adds a little aspect. Although the players probably undoubtedly don't really care, it makes 4 separate games as opposed to 1 game.
Okay. Cool, well, I guess from the NBA's point of view, for them, all they care about is making that dollar and if the product is halfway consumable.
But also, I think it's to show the NBA in a positive light. They donated over, I think, almost $2 million to different charities across America yesterday.
I'm not. Yeah, I get that, but they could have also just donated the money to the charities.
Agreed. That I agree.
Because, like we all know that the main thing is that they wanted to make this TV money, and this is Sunday prime time. There's no other sports on. They made a lot more money just than that $2 million. So I understand that it's for a good cause, and also the new setup makes it a little bit more interesting on a day to on a year to year basis. Just this year, for what you're getting out of it. But going back to what Nathan said, 2-3 weeks ago, it's a money grab. We know it. They know it. It is what it is.
Yeah, I know that can be argued, especially when, for example, like even on the charity stuff, I think it was for each assist, State Farm Insurance put in a certain amount of money. And just the mention of, oh, this was State Farm's money, that is advertisement. There's some sort of financial transaction going on there. Or the AT&T dunk cone, once again, it's an AT&T mobile provider getting a shout out.
Like if you think about all of these big conglomerates who are sponsoring, like you say, AT&T and State Farm, etc.,
And then out of all of that, you get 2 million. Like, for the, so maybe they all donated a couple of hundred K each. That's pennies for them. They're like, couple hundred K and we've got all these eyes on us.
Yeah, but it's also like, if you look at it from a, like, the way I look at a lot of things, it's like, this is hella weird now. The way I look at a lot of things is on the individual player, they might have been wearing like, okay, for instance, Paul George or LeBron or whoever has their own shoe, might be wearing an all-star exclusive that's going to be releasing, and therefore it's building heat around the product prior to release. That's also for a player incentive, for another brand incentive, Nike, whatever. Like, the whole thing was sponsored by Nike, which I thought was mad.
Nevin, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of all like the sponsors, like it's an all-star game. It's always going to be like sponsored down to the core and to the teeth. I thought it was kind of funny in the way that it was such a money grab that they didn't really put so much effort into it. So like, as kind of mentioned, the dunk contest itself was like mad low key. It was like only one or two or something. The acts weren't even, not the acts, the athletes weren't even like really top tier really.
Well, you don't rate Anthony Simons.
Let's look. Shout out to Anthony Simmons, and he almost kissed the rim when I rate that. But obviously, I've seen and like.
Bro, you're taller than the boy, and you can't even touch the net.
Hey, that's disrespectful. I said I couldn't even touch it. What?
Fired shots from nowhere.
You boys have got the kicks now to prove me wrong. All I'm saying.
Man's got the kicks. I'm going to come back to them kicks in a bit, though. But what was I saying? There's lots of other people who haven't seen the dunk contest, full stop. Like, I never got to see LeBron in the dunk contest. I didn't see Zion. There's so many people I'd rather see in a dunk contest rather than Simmons. Okay. Obi Toppin, and I don't know who the last guy was. None of the dunks were even like amazing. Like, to be honest, ever since the Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon, Mad Tink, like,
I would also... in the sense that YouTube and social media has killed the dunk contest. Now you're seeing high school ballers throw up YouTube clips, the House of Highlight, Bleacher Report. These people are just constantly sharing Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, whatever it may be, to the point that when you're seeing an NBA caliber athlete pull off a dunk, it's quite literally just a dunk. It's not a 16-year-old, 15-year-old pulling off some madness.
Yeah, I hear that, but like at the end of the day, like you don't really have NBA athletes or professionals who all they do is dunk. Like being a basketball player, being a basketball athlete is very multifaceted, highly skilled in multiple aspects. So yeah, you're gonna have people like on social media hit crazy dunks, but that's all they're doing. You know what I mean? Like we want to see like the actual stars of the league pull something out of the bag that's gonna entertain the crowd. Same in the 3-point shooting contest. Like, it's really just pro athletes even shooting threes their whole life, shooting some more threes. You know what I mean? There isn't even any sort of trick to it. I see loads of guys on Instagram, people like, so that lethal, you know, that lethal shooter guy on Instagram.
But there's something wrong with him, man. He's he's not fucking normal.
That shit puts up a clip, and that's way more interesting than Steph Curry. That 3-point shooting competition, in my opinion. Like, they didn't even have like a 4-point line or something.
Yeah, they had two Mountain Dew shooting points that were each worth 3 points.
I'm sorry, yeah, with this dunk contest, that's the fall off in quality. If you go from flipping Aaron Gordon doing like jumping over the mascot with the ball underneath him to Anthony Simons not touching the rim, not kissing the rim, nearly kissing the rim.
And then when he busts his teeth in, he got an arm.
It's a simple dunk, but the sheer athleticism of him
of course. I'm not saying that he doesn't look, I mean, like it's not amazing for him to do it.
You see, saying Aaron Gordon had a fucking mascot on a Segway doing donuts and he grabbed the ball from his legs. Yo, he went over the dunk. Yo.
That's what
that's
I mean.
Entertainment. Like, that's entertainment.
That's real quality level of okay. I know kissing a ring is like, I'm sure he's done it before as well, and I'm sure he is an athletic specimen. But bruv, he didn't even kiss it. Like, I saw him kissing the air, and I was like, oh, so we're giving trophies to people who almost do their tricks. Okay.
We've seen guys put cupcakes up there with a candle on it and blow it out. You could have done that, you know what I mean? It's all about the visual thing. I've now seen you visually not touch the rim of your mouth. I understand why you didn't do it.
Corona on that.
Corona, he probably would have bust his teeth in, bro. Like, really, if you're flying up that fast, there's no way.
You see that one video? I don't know if it was high school or college or Europe or Asia or whatever it was, but there was one video of some guy doing a chase down block, and he goes to block the ball, and he literally hits like his shoulder off the backboard. Mm. It like flattens himself.
He flips over or something. Yeah.
Oh, man just got up there. It was one of those ones he was paying attention purely to the ball. Bang, boom, out.
So the last all-star thing, which I think was quite some decent banter, was LeBron's picking of his team and leaving Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell to last, and then saying that he wants to get some size in his team and then he doesn't pick Rudy Gobert. Should Utah Jazz fans feel disrespected by LeBron's comments?
I think the comment they should feel disrespected by, but once again you need to show proof of it, is like when you LeBron, not verbatim but close enough, to when you play 2K you don't pick Utah Jazz.
It's true.
It is true.
No one wants to play Joe Ingles, bro.
Because of the bubble performance last year.
Jingles. Nah. Who did Utah have? So they had Stockton and Malone.
Mormons.
They have the Mormons. They have the Osmonds.
Yeah, no one cares about the Utah Jazz for being. That's what LeBron said, isn't it? It's like when we're playing 2K, no one picked like Stockton. No one wants to play these guys. But at the same time, like Utah small market, like no one really cares about. No one likes Rudy.
You think then that has a big effect on someone's career or the heights on which someone can reach? Because if you look at, we spoke about it a couple weeks ago, Damian Lillard, where we're saying this guy's never spoken about an MVP race. Is that just because he's in Portland? If he was doing everything he's doing in Miami, would Dame Lillard be going down in a different? Would we be looking at his career differently?
Dame Lillard's in a different category to Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is out here, he's winning Defensive Player of the Year and all these plaudits for a long time. And every time I see him go against a good center or someone that's even close to his size, that's good. He's food. Every single time.
Let's talk about what Zion did to Rudy in a second.
In his first game, Zion's first game in the NBA, he cooked Rudy Gobert.
That wasn't fun. But like, what I'm not talking about the Jazz now. I'm talking about in general. So like John Stockton, some people say he's the best point guard of all, one of the best point guards of all time. But because he played in Utah Jazz, he's not really known. Same with Karl Malone. Like, I don't know. I can't think of any Jazz legends. But I don't know if I can't think of any Jazz legends because nobody cares about Utah Jazz.
Again, like Utah's small market, but like if you're into ball, like who John Stockton, like, he even watched like the Last Dance, last year.
I also think that it could be anything. Like LeBron could have said, oh yeah, no one plays as the Charlotte Hornets. No one plays as Orlando Magic some years. No one plays as, you know what I mean? There's a whole long list of teams. And yeah, okay.
Wait. Orlando Magic had Dwight Howard.
And Shaq.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. On a 3 to 4 year basis, it changes. Some years, like when was that? Would you play as Cavs now, 2K21?
No.
Exactly. No. There's Cavs.
I mean, but I'll still pick the Cavs though, because like they've got the history, and on 2K21.
I think Utah have got. Have Utah ever won a title? I don't think Utah have ever. I don't think they've got any championship pedigree.
That could be a nice segue though, but I'm not gonna. I don't want to segue because I'm not back in Utah. So as a friend, this is very boring. But we could use that to segue into the whole conversation.
Sorry, so then
you could use that to segue into like the whole ring conversation and championships and how that affects your whole narrative as to how you perceive maybe certain teams and actually certain players. Because as you mentioned, like Dame Lillard he's in category of player where I'd say, yeah, they probably might end up underappreciated a few years after their career is done because they're unlikely to win a ring. Kyle Lowry as well. A few people. Look at Chris Paul. You can look at who I wanted to actually bring this up about actually was Carmelo Anthony, because there was a lot. I feel like guys like Melo, guys like Chris Paul, they don't get the same juice, the same respect because they haven't won rings. Same as Lillard. Lillard's never going to get that real kind of shout because he hasn't won a ring. He's unlikely to win an MVP situation. So.
See,
same with Charles Barkley as well back in the day.
I understand your point. But again, it's a game of numbers. Only one team can win a ring each year. And of that, you have effectively 12 active roster players. And to be part of those 12 active roster players. Now, you talk about All-Stars. So of all the All-Stars who played last night from both teams, what percentage of those has a ring and has a potential to win a ring? You can bring up both Donovan Mitchell, once again, Utah Jazz. He's probably not got a chance, but he's an all-star.
He's young. I'll tell you he's a bit young, but I do see your point, Nathan, like that could be there's like, it's connected with what you're saying, Callum, right? There's only so many championships, but you can still be the best person and not win. You can still be the best person in the league and not win a championship that year.
Well, when I was growing up, Tracy McGrady owned the league. Remember T-Mac, he actually owned the league. That was it.
But I guess with the championship thing, it's almost like these are the best people of their generation. Like they're the best in their school. They won everything in their schools. They won everything in their states. They've won everything up to a certain level. And all these guys know is winning. So when you get into the NBA and you reach that status of person, all you care about is winning. So all the fans care about is winning. So if you don't win, unfortunately, you are looked at in a different way. Is it fair? Probably not. But
stupid. I think that's stupid, isn't it? And I think, no, I mean, because we grew up and I saw Melo play. I saw Melo's, most of Melo's career. I know Melo was probably the best scorer in the league. Quite some time, you know what I mean? Like Mansour AI. I know he was need to win rings to be
You think AI is disrespected? I don't think AI is disrespected.
AI doesn't get respect in terms of AI is a bit different because again he's a game changer and he did a lot more for the league outside of just actual basketball. He was literally an imprint.
Carmelo though, everyone, I don't see any respected media source talking about Melo like he's not a Hall of Famer.
What do you mean, man? People say Melo couldn't be in the league just recently.
Who, Max Kellerman?
These are respected. That's a respected guy in media.
What, Max Kellerman. Max Kellerman was saying that Tom Brady should have retired 2-3 years ago. Still,
the general consensus before Melo came to the league was that he wasn't good enough for the league. That's disrespect.
Before
he was finished, you know what I mean? So, and man's back, and he's still doing
it. I think that whole consensus comes with a lot of players. Oh, is Zion fit enough to play in the league? Oh, is LaMelo mature enough to play in the league? Is two modern day examples of that.
So, the Melo thing is, I think, is different because there was a narrative that was created. I don't think Dame Lillard, James Harden, I don't know who else, modern times, who's a great player that hasn't won a title, will be viewed in the same way. Melo had his issues because he was turning 34, 35, and he wouldn't accept that he wasn't a star. Remember when he got knocked out with OKC? And they're like, so what about you coming off the bench? He was like, me? Off the bench? And people remembered that. So he had a weird narrative that was created around him that meant that people saw him as this guy who only wanted to be a star. Now he's understood his role. People are seeing exactly who Melo is. It was ridiculous that Melo was seen as worse than the other 520 guys in the league. That's crazy. But I think there was more of a narrative behind it than a disrespect to his career.
But I think circumstance makes it easy to really create these sort of narratives. because who knows, Harden could have this same sort of narrative next year or two. Say he's out of contract, he's maybe not at the top of the top in the league anymore, and he's looking for a team. He's like, yo, I can still be that guy. Russell Westbrook is still doing it now. Yeah. Russell Westbrook came into the season and the people were like, yo, are you actually that guy? And he's had to like go through that and the bad form to prove he's still a player. Like narratives are a bit ridiculous at times. But in terms of like championships, I always find it a bit weird.
The thing is, you're watching a sport where there's lots of different intangibles and there's lots of different ways to measure success.
Mm-hmm.
Different people's eyes. Like you could say, me and you could have an argument about who's better between James Harden and Kyrie Irving. We maybe will never really get anywhere. But a championship is where that's a decider for a lot of people. It's like, okay, we can have this argument, but then, well, this person's able to win a champ. I know that's not always fair.
I've got a question.
Giannis's brother. One of them has a ring, one of them doesn't.
There's a lot of bum.
No, that's deeper. That's very extreme. That guy's a bum. But let's think about, let's say, that same argument, but let's say Chris Paul and Dirk Nowitzki.
Mm.
He's got a bigger legacy there.
Dirk has a bigger legacy in Dallas.
Huh?
Dirk has a legacy in Dallas.
You both spoke at the same time, and I think that's true.
Yeah, Dirk has a bigger legacy in Dallas.
I mean, in basketball, like, get in Dallas.
In basketball in general, I would say Chris Paul still. Reason I say Chris Paul is because of everything that Chris Paul's done. Firstly, Chris Paul has just established himself as, okay, if you look at the work he's put in and the numbers that he does and what he does, what his effect on winning is, Chris Paul. But if I look at, okay, if you want to take into account the international stuff and maybe the pride that comes from playing in, firstly, he played in Dallas, which is a big market. It's a big market team. And it was like, I don't know if that's their first championship.
Dallas is a big market.
Dallas is one of the biggest markets. Texas, bro. It's one of the biggest markets in
the Cowboys, yeah, bro.
Like, Dallas Cowboys are the biggest. Dallas Cowboys haven't won anything in 20-plus years.
But in terms of franchises in the league,
there's still a big... When you say big markets, you're thinking big TV markets, because they're the ones that...
That's where the money's generated.
Yeah, but they're the ones who get put on national TV because they can drive the most ratings.
Yeah.
So if you have a Dallas Mavericks match on, you're going to have more people watching. So with Dallas being good, then that's just amazing for the NBA. That's why they always say they want the Knicks to be good. Because if the Knicks are good, then that drives publicity for the NBA. So I would say, to be honest, it's hard because people who understand basketball, who watch it just a little bit, should see Chris Paul as having a bigger effect than Dirk Nowitzki. But if you're a casual fan...
That's debatable.
I think Dirk Nowitzki has arguably done more for European basketball than anyone else. And I think that itself provides a legacy.
Even in terms of straight basketball prowess, there's always a argument. Just that 2011 run, that playoff run. I don't know if he actually looked at who he actually beat in order to get to the finals in 2011. But he beat everyone. He beat everyone.
But you're acting like Dirk didn't have to go through like big teams.
That's what I'm saying. Dirk did go through big teams. That's what I'm saying. Like in that playoff run, that Dirk run, unparalleled, bro. Man beat Kobe. Man beat Brandon Roy. Man beat Miami. Yo, he beat everyone in that playoff run. That was like a proper body bag. Like, big names in the league. That was everyone. And then he went on to win the championship. And that legacy in itself, like, it's amazing. Like, he looks at Dirk and says, yo, this guy's the only one. Before he does it. You know what I mean? No disrespect to like Dirk, innit? But like, there's a lot of guys in the league. And he did a lot. And he won. So I hear you with Chris Paul as well, because I think Chris Paul, his straight career, like what he does to teams is mad. Like, he brings the floor up so high just with him being there. It's ridiculous. And that deserves the same respect, even though he hasn't won Like he hasn't got a ring. Fair enough. But like everyone who knows Gordon knows Chris Paul is like.
But then if somebody
arguably always point guard in the league.
But then if someone you and said who was the better player, and they used and they said and their argument was Dirk, and they used the championship as a reason. They've got, I think it's still, but that's a valid enough reason.
It's a weird one. It's a weird one. But at the same time, I don't think you should use lack of championships as a stick to beat certain players. Because
like, it shouldn't be. It depends. Like every situation is its own situation. Because if you're a Dame Lillard, or if you're like a Bradley Beal, and you're just a loyal guy, and you're doing everything right, but the organization is just crap, then. It's a bit harsh to hold it against you if that's the case.
But, I mean, but also it's just a straight numbers thing. Right? Not every player will win the league. Stop. Giannis might never win the league. He might never win a ring. James Harden might never win a ring. And he's probably the best scorer we've seen in the last I've ever seen. Besides KD. But numbers wise, Harden's the best scorer I've probably ever seen. He might never win a ring.
That's what I'm saying. It's a numbers thing. There's only one team each year that can win the ring. What's the average NBA career? 8 years, give or take?
Yeah, 8 to 4.
Yeah, so 8 opportunities to win a ring, and you've got to be at the right team in the right year and have
the right form. Everything has to come together perfectly.
Injuries.
So. Yeah, injuries, corona. Pandemics. That's an extra fucking variable that's been thrown in the mix that no one thought of.
I always found it funny when Kawhi was seen as like the greatest, the best player. Like he did win a championship when like two of like the best players on the other team were completely wiped out. Like I'm not to say that Toronto didn't deserve to win a title or Kawhi is not a champion, but he won a championship because of some very like crazy circumstances. So, and it does sometimes come down to it. Injuries, that ball that dropped in Philly, where it hit the rim 3 times.
But that could be anything, right? You got to win what's in front of you. Like, LeBron probably have a few less rings if KD was fit when he was meant to be.
So, this is what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with your point that it's harsh to judge people on the championship narrative because there are so many factors that go into play that sometimes you have no power over. And it could swing your side and you get yourself a championship, or it could swing against you and you don't. But that doesn't change how good somebody is, should be judged. That shouldn't change how we judge someone over the course of their career.
Agreed.
I love it in like the professional context where like you see athletes saying like, you see Kobe and Jordan on the court. And Kobe's talking smack and Jordan's like, yo, I've got 6 rings. Yeah, I love that.
The NBA, whenever Chuck tries to get a little bit too, Chuck's just like, wait, no.
No.
But yeah, should we move on to like the best part of the show? Or then this night madness.
Oh my goodness.
The night madness. Gannon, do you want to talk about it? Because I know like this
I'll go into it in short and simple terms. There's two sides to the story, or there's two discussions that have happened thereafter, but the story being the VP of Nike North America, her son had been using the company credit card to initiate, fund, and effectively run his resale business. His resale business was not only limited to Nike, Jordan, Converse, but also included your typical Yeezy, Adidas, Reebok, whatever the hype was on. And there was images of him with houses of shoes, warehouses full of shoes that he was apparently running his legitimate business out of. So from his end, effectively, it was legitimate. It was absolutely fine. The fuck up came when it was found out that it was mum's credit card, or the Nike credit card at some point was being used. So initially, the different rumors that came out to say she got fired, which could well be, it's America, you can get fired on the spot, or that she steps down with immediate effect. She effectively turned up to work and said, I'm out. who knows what actually happened. But now there's the two arguments saying, okay, yeah, A, absolutely fine, what's happened's happened, she's not there anymore. Okay, company credit card, she has to pay it back, blah, blah, blah. And then there's a B argument, which is she is being punished for her son's ingenuity and entrepreneurship of trying to start his own business. And at the end of the day, Nike should look to that ingenuity and be like, okay, stop reselling, come work with us, and we can teach you how to kind of market and run a business this way.
Whoa. Actually, let's fill in a bit more details here, because maybe we came across this whole topic basis. But to me, it was, I read it that morning, it was a random article on Bloomberg about some Nike reselling. I was just reading it. I didn't know any of the kerfuffle going on in the background. But it was, as you said, there was this kid, blah, blah, blah. He started up this whole kind of enterprise, basically, called like West Coast sneakers or whatever. Yeah. And I was I'm kind of into sneakers. I'm not like massively into trainers, but I'm aware. You know what I mean? I mean, like, I follow all the pages on Instagram and whatnot. So I remember seeing this name, West Coast, blah, blah, blah. And I remembered and it came to it later on in the article, but I also remembered last year there was a specific instance where, you know, those Back to the Future Nikes, the self-lacing ones.
That the Nike Air Mag.
The high-top ones that were mad exclusive, innit? I mean, it came out one time, this kid found six pairs of Back to the Future Nikes chilling in the warehouse in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, okay, that sounds cool. But it came back to it in the article. It was this kid was the one he found those Nikes. And basically the kid, it wasn't an investigative piece. The kid had been called and he was given an interview. So he was talking and kind of flexing to this journalist the whole time. So I sent him the ins and outs, this is what I do. I have whole program set up where I teach people how to do this. I use these bots, blah, blah, blah. This is my marginal profit. He was telling him everything in the lowdown. So he comes through to the story. And at one point, I think he sent the journalist a picture. And it said Herbert, but it wasn't the kid's initials. The kid was called something Herbert, or Herbert. And it was someone else's initials. And the journalist did a little tutus and was like, oh, wait, isn't the guy who runs the North American branch something Herbert? It's like, oh, wait, let me do a little more digging here then. So he looks into it, and this woman who's running the fucking North American is also the one who'd been pushing the whole reselling, not reselling, but the online marketplace. So it's the sneakers app, essentially. She's the one who set that all up. So that was a sick move in itself, because obviously it's kind of insulated when it comes to the pandemic, for example. But then you look at it in the context of actually her son is fully making a living off this particular market that his mother has set up, and she is somehow unaware of it or are okay with it. That in itself is a mad thing. It's first of all, for the purpose of flexing, he outed his mum. We have no idea why he's even doing this interview in the first place. My guy Herbert the pervert is actually out here eating.
He's picking up celebrities, ballers.
Why is he giving a reveal all kind of interview to Lindbergh? First of all, second of all, he outed his mum. So his mum was like, yeah, this isn't, Nike were like, yeah, this is okay, we're aware of this, and it's not related to us directly. But at the end of the day, it's a mad thing, because she's now had to step down.
Yeah.
She wasn't fired, she had to step down, because...
Well, there's rumour around that.
There's rumour around it, but sneaker culture, bro. I mean, she's going to have to step down, yeah, anyway, it doesn't matter, she's fucking, her son's involved. You can't tell me that she was fully unaware that her son. How did this kid find six pairs of Back to the Future?
I think there was a reasonable amount. I don't. Yeah. Yes. Okay. That's very limited. But
bro, it's literally this is fixing the market. This is literally fixing the market based on inside information.
100%.
I mean, you've seen this in the stock trading, or even recently GameStop. This is essentially the same thing. My guy's in there and he's got inside information. The market's been fixed. She's created a market so he can run it, basically.
Correct.
That's a mad thing in itself. And it's wild. And I mean, I'd say I wish the best for the Herberts, but like, I kind of wish the worst. Like, they're obviously like a mad privileged position.
And I wish them the best. And get them the sponsor.
I wish them the absolute worst, bro. I tried to get them fucking last week.
The which one?
The all blue ones. The AU ones.
Yeah, okay.
You've seen them, like, baby blue pink.
Yeah.
I couldn't get them. Like, I haven't won the sneakers raffle in how long? Because my guy's out here fixing the market.
That's because you're using a UK number on a German line.
It's because I'm not using the bot. That's but yeah, I mean that's my kind of take on it. I think it's a bit mad thing. And yeah, she probably deserves to be fired. She wasn't.
We'll have enough behind her. She'll be working for StockX next, who knows?
I mean, how thirsty do you have to be to like do a piece of investigative journalism on your operation? Like, I could be doing a few scams on the side. I'm not really talking about it on the pod. You know what I mean? How's my guy calling? Don't raise your eyebrow out like that, Derek. No, you're doing unsavory things.
I'm just raising my eyebrow because your guy, Hush Puppy, was doing all sorts of business and was putting it all online. My bruv, clout is a horrible.
I'm not even gonna ask.
We can talk about Hush Puppy another time. But so should we wrap up here? No? Alright, cool. Well, thanks again for listening in. If you did listen in. Great talking to you guys again. Catch you again next week. DMP out.